con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
The road to redemption has brought the Warriors back home. The Golden State Warriors are the 2017 NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. And our next segment, of course, being powered by Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters, seasoned chemical service veterans. Check them out online at InnospecInc.com. Well, it is another big weekend of college football, and even in the NFL, there are some epic matchups. Of course, right here in the Big 12 Conference, TCU and OU, and how about Georgia at Auburn? As always, we've got you covered, the biggest and the best. And up next is a very special guest, a college football and NFL analyst. He was a first-round draft pick. And that is the great Ryan Leaf back with us tonight. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you with us, Ryan. So here we are, the final month of the regular season, and there are some critical matchups that will be going on. The first one that comes to my mind, let's talk about those Sooners and the Frogs, TCU, Oklahoma. And perhaps, you know, Ryan, this is a preview of the Big 12 title game, and both these teams are 8-1. What stands out when you break it down between these two teams?
Well, for me, and it has been this way all year long, it's Baker Mayfield. You know, he is, to me, the front runner for the Heisman Trophy, and he's been the best player in football, I think, all year long. And his team started to show it. They played extremely well in Stillwater last week, and what they did up in the Horseshoe against Ohio State was very, very impressive. So I'm looking forward to his performance. I think that TCU is a very good football team, coached by Gary Patterson. Defensively, I just have I'm a little hesitant in what happened at Iowa State and how they were just not able to score, and how Kenny Hill, you know, started turning the ball over like he used to. I think Oklahoma handles TCU pretty easily this week, and I'd like to actually see another rematch between Oklahoma State and Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship. I think that would be on a neutral field, be pretty entertaining to watch.
Well, Ryan, that was a wild win in Stillwater against Mike Gundy and the Cowboys. And I tell you what, you know, to me, it's not so fast because TCU, in my mind, is a very dangerous team. And talk to me about what do you think are going to be some of the keys that perhaps will decide the outcome of this game in Norman?
Well, it's going to be containing Baker Mayfield if they are defensively. If they are not able to allow him to, because they cannot match Oklahoma like Oklahoma State did, score by score. They can't do it. So that defense is going to have to firm up and make some stops and allow their offense to generate points, because that's simply just they can't chase there. They're not capable offensively to do that.
College football NFL analyst Ryan Leaf with us. We got to step aside for a quick break. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
We are so glad you're with us. Hour number two at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue our college football conversation with Ryan Leaf. Well, Ryan, that was a wild win in Stillwater against Mike Gundy and the Cowboys. And Baker Mayfield, you were talking about him. I mean, he threw for a school record 598 yards and is the front runner for the Heisman. I want to talk about him momentarily, but I tell you what, you know, to me, it's not so fast because TCU, in my mind, is a very dangerous team, and they've got an excellent coach, as you had just mentioned, in Gary Patterson, and they bounced back after their loss to Iowa State and beat Texas 24-7. So talk to me about what do you think are going to be some of the keys that perhaps will decide the outcome of this game in Norman?
Well, it's going to be containing Baker Mayfield if they are defensively. If they are not able to allow him to, because they cannot match Oklahoma like Oklahoma State did, score by score. They can't do it. So that defense is going to have to firm up and make some stops and allow their offense to generate points, because that's simply just they can't chase there. They're not capable offensively to do that. Even if you look at the comparable loss by both teams to Iowa State, you know, it was a relative shootout with Oklahoma, and Iowa State was figured out a way to be able to score points where, you know, Iowa State held – TCU to, I believe, 7 points. Kenny Hill turned the ball over twice in the red zone. So for me, it's going to be a defensive strategy for Coach Patterson and that defense, and finding a way to limit. And I wouldn't say you know contain Baker Mayfield, but simply get a stop here or there and allow that offense a chance to keep the game in reach.
Hey, college football NFL analyst Ryan Leaf back with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online at eRadio Sports, and you can always go back and listen to our exclusive interview with Ryan at podcastarena.com. So the real question mark is, can Gary Patterson's defense, can they slow down, impede the Sooners? Now let's talk some more about Baker Mayfield, because, you know, there was an article that the Washington Post, released this week that Baker Mayfield perhaps may be Oklahoma's best quarterback ever. You know, how exceptional is he, and how would you evaluate his talent?
Well, I mean, I think that anytime we, in this day and age, you know, anything that's written about a current player, there's always hyperbole around it, because it's always the new shiny thing, right? It's always the best.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sam Bradford, for me, is, you want to, you know, he was, Jason White, I mean, guys that won Heisman trophies, who were leaders at that university. Baker Mayfield's been there for a while, and he's done great things. They haven't got over the hump and won that big game, you know, won the big game when they needed to. So, you know, after watching the Iowa State situation happen a few weeks ago, I was a little I was going to distance myself from that. But the idea of what he's capable of doing the rest of the year, it's all right in front of him, right? Because I consider him being able to control his own destiny here. He has the ability to most likely walk away with the Heisman Trophy, walk away with the Big 12 title, hopefully get into the playoffs, and they're good enough to compete for the national championship. It's, for me, it's just going to be a struggle, because there's so many good teams this year, and they're going to be at the top, and those four spots are going to be very, very coveted.
Yeah, Ryan, I mean, meaningful football games yet to be played. So let me ask you this. I mean, is Baker Mayfield, is he your favorite to win the Heisman?
Yeah, right now he's my front runner. Okay. He has been for the last, I don't know if that's wavered at all. I kind of was looking at Bryce Love for a while there, but his performance against Washington State and the fact that he didn't play against Oregon State was pretty telling for me. But I just feel like he has shot himself to the forefront, and I don't know if anybody necessarily can catch him if he's able to keep putting up those types of numbers, which I don't anticipate him not doing.
You were a first-round draft pick in the NFL. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but what kind of future do you think that he has when we talk about Baker Mayfield? I mean, would he be a first-round pick? And also, perhaps, you know, Ryan, make a comparison. I mean, who does he remind you of?
Well, you know, when it comes to the NFL draft, I think which I hate it being the case, is that a lot of times, necessarily, the guys are throwing out records. They're actually just looking at the intangibles, the physical nature of things, because I'm still hearing everywhere from scouts that, you know, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen are the guys in this draft. And for me, you know, the guy that continues to win and lead in a way that you want as a contender on an NFL football team has been Baker Mayfield. And so he's right at the top of my list of who should play at the next level. He reminds me a lot of Deshaun Watson, to be honest.
Wow, okay.
Strong arm, ability to move and run with the football, I think, and his leadership skills are tremendous. He's very, very competitive, and I think that's a very good comparison between those two.
Hey, college football NFL analyst Ryan Leaf with us, SB Nation Radio, and you were talking about leading and contending. I want to jump back for a moment. Talk to me some more about the Sooners in Oklahoma. Here they've got, you know, first-year head coach in Lincoln Riley. And, I mean, Ryan, he's only 33 years of age. Just your overall impressions of him and how he has been able to lead the Sooners. Yeah, they've had some slippage, but, you know, I mean, he's doing okay. 8-1, not too bad.
No, he's doing a great job. I mean, he took over for a great coach who left the cabinets very, very full. The one thing I've been a little, you know, uncomfortable with when it came to that is that Coach Stoops always had that defense performing. You know, the defense was always the stalwart of sorts, especially when it came to big games. And that game last week you saw was more of like a Big 12 shootout. And the physicalness on defense, and that tends to happen when you go, you know, offensive-minded, right? When you go to an offensive-minded coach in Lincoln Riley, somebody who has been an offensive coordinator, and you kind of take on that persona of your head coach. And where Gary Patterson on the other side is a defensive-minded and a defensive stalwart of sorts, and they're better defensively year in, year out. So, you know, I'm looking for that to be upgraded, the defensive mindset. They have to be tougher to get into that playoff and compete for the national championship.
Okay, let's head over and let's talk about some of the teams in the Big Ten Conference. And Wisconsin, they face Iowa on Saturday, and they're 9-0. I mean, they've got an unblemished record. Are they in danger of, you know, missing the playoffs if they should go 13-0? I mean, what are the chances of that? And just kind of your overall evaluation of the Badgers.
I think if they go 13-0 and win the Big Ten Championship that they're in, they have to be, I think. I don't think you leave a team out like that. But I don't believe that there are going to. I think there's going to be maybe a slip-up this weekend with Iowa, and for sure, I don't think their side of the division is as strong, and whoever they play, regardless if it's a two- or three-loss team in Ohio State, Penn State, or Michigan, they're not going to win the Big Ten Championship in my mind. So that all will be a moot point. It's the idea that they will have played, you know, really no ranked opponents until that game. I know Iowa recently got put into the top this week, but you know that it's very telling, strength of schedule wise. And you know, I sorry to say to all the Wisconsin fans out there, but you know, even at 12-0, you know, they may be in the top five at that point, but they're not going to, in my opinion, compete against that other side of the division. Their division is very weak at this point. And it has been through most of the history of them dividing that conference up into those two divisions.
And, of course, they will face Iowa tomorrow and Michigan next week and then Minnesota. Now, one team that I wanted you to weigh in on, and I think it's been one of the biggest surprises this year, is Notre Dame. What are your takeaways from watching them? I mean, the third-ranked team in the country.
Yeah, they are in my Final Four right now, who I believe will be there.
Okay.
The Final Four, I think they are a tremendous football team on how they run the football, play defensive-minded football, and are, you know, things are happening for them. They're getting lucky, and that's what needs to happen. And as an independent, you know, almost likely you're going to remove possibly two, maybe even three conferences this year from making the college football playoff, because I don't believe that if Alabama and Georgia play each other, both undefeated for the SEC championship, I do not believe the loser moves out of the top four. So that means that most likely if Notre Dame is in, that three Power Five conferences will not have a team representing them this year.
Wow. Hey, Ryan Leaf's been with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Ryan, reach out to our audience. Where can they find you online and tune you in?
Yeah, you guys can reach me at Twitter, at Ryan D. Leaf, and follow me at focusedintensity.org if you want to donate to our cause, helping people with substance abuse and mental health issues, help get them the treatment they need by donating towards scholarships and funding them. You literally could have a hand in saving a life. So I ask you to do that and be a part of that.
Ryan, it's great to have you on. We've missed you on the program, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in hour number two, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Our next segment being powered by our good friends at Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Well, it has been a very big week. The celebration continues as the Astros win their first World Series in franchise history. But right now, we're going to completely shift gears. We're going to tee it up. As promised, it is time for a golf segment. And we have extended an invitation to the CEO and master golf fitter from MK Golf Technologies in San Antonio. And that is Mark Valier, who is here to help us understand all the do's and don'ts with club fitting. You can never, ever underestimate a good club fitter, because they can literally, I tell you what, I've got junior golfers in my house. They can literally transform a player's game. Welcome to the program, Mark. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, let's talk about the importance of going to a reputable golf fitter, because it's not just for the pros or for scratch golfers. It's true, because you want an experienced coach, you want an experienced teacher, but you also want an experienced fitter that's going to help build your equipment and customize it for you and for your strengths.
Well, I think one of the things that Kirk and I focus on at MK Golf is we just want to, you know, help everybody get the best equipment that suits their game, and everybody has a different swing, what we call swing DNA. And so, you know, we started this, you know, years and years ago, and just worked ourselves through the industry to become a top club fitter. And we think there's two categories, basically. You got, you know, the range fitter, and then you've got professional fitters. You know, like the pros, that they would use the guys on tour and tour vans and so forth. And we're sort of like that on dry land. We don't have a mobile studio that we travel around to venues and so forth. People come to us. And so, you know, we focus on the fundamentals of golf, you know, try to understand, you know, we're really equipment specialists. So we focus on the engineering and design of all the products. You know, we focus on the design of the shafts and how shafts work, you know, shaft profiles. You know, in an engineering perspective, a shaft profile is called modulus elasticity. Now, that's a big word, but it's, it really translates to what we call EI. So when an engineer is designing a shaft, they're designing a shaft to flex in certain positions and certain speeds, and also with different tempos. You know, then you have a design engineer that's designing a head, and it's designed for, you know, certain types of golfers. Like you have the blade style that maybe a Tiger Woods would play, and then you have a cavity back style that you know, the average golfer would play that needs a little bit more forgiveness. And so there's a wide array and variation of styles. And so when somebody walks in, one of the first things we look for is, how fast are you swinging a golf club? You know, what is your tempo? Mm-hmm. You know, what's your handicap? What are your expectations on the golf course? Are you the guy or gal that wants to go out and just be outdoors and enjoy a great day, you know, outdoors? Or do you want to be competitive and you want to score your best? And so, you know, you have to, those are the questions that we ask people when they come in, that they come in and we say, okay, what do you want to do with your game? And so then the other aspect of that is junior golfers, like you mentioned earlier. You know, that's really how we got started, because my son and my partner's son, Kirk, the son, played junior golf, and we wanted to get them in the best equipment. Well, I have happened to start, you know, in the golf business when I was about 20 years old out of college, and well, I was older than that, actually, about 21 or 22. But we wanted, you know, to make sure they had the best equipment. And, you know, it was expensive. So to try to save some money, I started building, you know, my son's clubs. And, you know, as he grew up from 6 years old to 8 years old to 10 to 12 to 15, I mean, they changed in weight and size and length and everything else. So that's sort of how we got started. And then all of a sudden, we started going to the PGA show and meeting people in the industry, and then we started getting different accounts with different companies, and it just kind of ballooned into, like, holy cow, now we're legitimate. Now Golf Digest recognizes us as a top 100, you know, company.
Yeah. The CEO Master Fitter of MK Golf Technologies, as he was just talking about, in San Antonio. That is Mark Valier with us for the very first time, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And, you know, it's true. I mean, club fitting has become more scientific. So how valuable as a club fitter is a tool like having a TrackMan when you do a club fitting?
Well, I'm telling you flat out, it's essential today. We really couldn't make any money, if that is a factor in our business, which, you know, it is, you know, without the technology. You know, we use FlightScope and TrackMan because it helps us determine what is working in the golf swing from an equipment perspective for that individual that we're fitting at that time. You know, we're certified in the technology, so we can read the data that comes off of these machines. And if you're going to be fit by somebody that's got a TrackMan or a FlightScope, you really need to ask the question as a consumer, are you certified? You know, what classes have you gone to mm-hmm. ensure to me as a consumer that I'm going to spend money and I'm going to get value out of my fitting? You know, if you're going to somebody that's, let's say, just teaching, and all of a sudden that teacher says, well, you need some new clubs. Well, that's fine, but you also want to make sure that teacher that's teaching you the fundamentals of the swing also understands equipment. And there's a variation of size of this story. You know, that doesn't mean that a good teacher, a Class A professional, doesn't know equipment, because they can. But the perfect world is where you're going to an instructor to get taught the golf swing, and that instructor turns around and says, okay, now it's time for you to go see MK Golf or some company like us to get fit for equipment. And then those two entities work together. And that's what we do. We have a lot of Class A's that we work with. And, you know, when they get ready, they send us business. And when people come in and they need help with the golf swing, we send those people to them, because we're not trying to be somebody's instructor, because that's not what we do. But we do know the golf swing really well, and it helps us fit as well. So, you know, the consumer really needs to ask a question. The one thing about me, somebody calls me, I will tell them exactly what is good for them. I mean, I'll talk to people on the phone until I'm blue in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't charge for that. I want people to get the best out of golf, because Kirk and I are both golf geeks. We grew up playing it. You know, we love it.
We love Kirk. Yeah.
Yeah, we love working with kids.
Uh-huh.
We love to watch them grow. And, you know, 6 years old and 8 years old and 10 years old, and all of a sudden, that summer before their freshman year, they grow 12 inches. And you go, now what do I do? You know, well, now the clubs that you get spent $2,000 for example, they don't fit the young man or young girl.
Yep.
Because they've grown so much. You know, and so we have to be so focused on growth patterns and demographics of where you're playing, the type of golf courses that you play, and the amount of time you have to spend on them. I mean, these kids are so pulled from different directions today. You've got all these activities to do. You know, you've got a lot of competition out there. And, you know, where are you going to go to college? Are you going to play college golf? You know, and so forth. And it's an everyday thing. We study a lot. You know, we try to keep focused. And our motto is basically, if you're not happy, we're not done. You know, we want you to come get fit by us and have great experience. And if you go play golf and things aren't working like you want them to, then we want to know that, you know, because we learn from that as well.
Yeah. And, you know, Mark, I mean, there are a lot of talented professionals out there. And my takeaways is, you know, what really makes a great club fitter is what you're talking about. You want to be teamed up with someone that is truly committed to the process and to helping, you know, whether it's your junior golfer or college golfer, helping one improve. And it's about building trust.
Yeah, you know, you have to have a team today. You know, if you take the Jordan Spieth out there, they've got a team of people. He's got an instructor. You know, he's got a manager. He's got a fitness guy. He's got a nutrition guy or gal. I mean, it's so challenging today. You just, and if you really focus on what's going on in the golf world, focus on the talent that's out there today in college and high school. I mean, these kids are getting so good so quick, and part of it is because of technology. I mean, you get a TrackMan or a FlyScope out there with a good instructor, and all of a sudden they understand immediately why the ball went right, why the ball went left, why it went high, why it went low, you know. And then you have an instructor that says, you know, your equipment does not fit you now, so I can't get you to where you need to be until you change equipment. And so a lot of moms and dads, for example, they understand this. But then you have another set of parents that don't play golf, and they really may not understand that. And so that's why, you know, call us and ask us to help you get through this, you know. And that's, you know, one of the narratives that I like to present to people is information is free. I'll tell you what I think, and I'll be honest with you and be straightforward with you to make sure that your son or daughter, for example, you know, gets to go in the right direction. And if you're John Doe, you're working for a living and you play golf on the weekends, you want to play your best golf, you know, do the same thing. Come see us. Let us inspect your bag. Let us do some analytics on it. And I'll tell you, hey, your irons are pretty good. You really don't need any. But your driver is five generations old. maybe that might be a good idea to change, you know.
That's right. Hey, Mark Valier, the CEO, master fitter of MK Golf Technologies. Check them out in San Antonio. He's got an amazing team. Kirk James and Jamie Watson. I tell you what, Mark, this is your first time on the show. You have a radio voice. I'm not sure if you've heard that before, but you're easy on the ears, and we look forward to another conversation. Great information. Very informative. Thank you, Mark.
I really appreciate you asking me to be on, and anytime you need anything from me, just give me a holler.
Yes, sir. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the fastest 2 hours in radio. Connect with us online at Twitter at @eRadioSports, and we will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Tonight's segment, it is being powered by Innospec Oilfield Services. Check them out online, InnospecINC.com. Well, as promised before commercial break, that's right, NBA news and notes, it's going to continue. And we're going to talk about one of our favorite teams, and that is the Dallas Mavericks. Tim Cato from SB Nation, he is here with us to provide an update. He also is going to share about his new book, which is titled 100 Things Maverick Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Hello, Tim. Good to have you with us.
Hey, Alyssa. Great to be here.
Okay, so first and foremost, before we take a deep dive into your book, talk to me about the Mavericks. They are at the bottom of the Western Conference. On Tuesday night, they gave us a sense of hope because they had a solid win on the road against the Wizards, and here they are 12 games into the season. Is this where, Tim, is this where you thought they would be?
It's not, and, you know, I think a lot of Mavericks fans and just people, you know, expecting what the team would do. You know, there were some concerns, and there's some, you know, especially after last season where they won, you know, in the 30s and in terms of wins. But most people thought they'd be a little bit better than this. And, you know, there's been a number of reasons. You know, the injury problems with Seth Curry definitely hurts them, definitely has made an impact. But it's still a disappointing, you know, start for this team. And though I'm definitely not ruling out anything, and I do think that they will, you know, turn things around to an extent, it does show that they're, you know, probably not in line for the playoff contending season where, you know, they can at least be in the playoff race come, like, March. That's looking less and less likely at this point.
Well, Tim, how encouraged are you by their performance earlier this week on the road against the Wizards? You just mentioned Seth Curry. You know, if he returns, could they perhaps right the ship in some sense?
Right. I think that game, I'm sorry, that game did show that they were, you know, that they were able to compete with bigger and, you know, more talented teams to an extent. But,
right,
you know, at the same time, they've also lost some of these games that were nail-biters against, you know, teams that they should be beating. So, you know, as much as you can draw moral victories at this point, you know, I do think that game kind of showed one. But it's just a matter of, at this point, they want actual victories. Moral victories aren't really they don't count anywhere in the standings, and that's showing right now as you look at the standings.
Okay, staff writer at SB Nation, Tim Cato with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You definitely want to give Tim a follow at Twitter, Tim_Cato. Tim is also an author and has just released his first book. We got to congratulate him, 100 Things Maverick Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And I promise we're going to get into that here momentarily. But one of the highlights and bright spots for the Mavericks, of course, is their rookie point guard in Dennis Smith Jr. He had 22 against Washington, and head coach Rick Carlisle in postgame, you know, had very high marks for him. He talked about his aggression, his poise, and just the leadership that he demonstrated, that he is a very good basketball player. Give some love on Dennis Smith Jr.
Oh, he's sensational, and I am everything that people thought he could be before, you know, coming into the season. I think he's been showing that. And yeah, you know, he's going to go through some rookie pains and growing spurts, and you know, he does need all of that. But I do think that he's really shown to be, you know, a player that can even be a franchise guy, you know, especially with the team. You know, the reality is that Dirk Nowitzki is, you know, has at most maybe one more season after this. And so they're definitely looking to move on, or looking for, you know, kind of the next person who can lead them into the future. And, you know, out of everyone on the team and out of everyone they could have drafted, it looks like Dennis Smith was a pretty good choice there.
Okay, the Mavericks only have 2 wins on the season so far. They are muscling through a lot of adversity. It's got to be very frustrating. You just mentioned the heart of the Mavericks, and that is Dirk Nowitzki. How is he helping nurture these younger players, helping them step up and understand that it's a process? This isn't a sprint, it's a marathon, and they've just got to take it one game at a time, one possession at a time.
Oh yeah, he's always been sensational at that, and you know, he is, you know, at, 39 now, and just really embracing that role. You know, he is a class act, and everybody says it, but You know, I can't really express enough that the, when people say that he's a great guy, that they really mean it. You know, this is not just you know, complimenting because he's been here so long, that, you know, everything he does off the court, all of his actions, all of his you know, just the things he does, the charity events and he hosts, and the, you know, the community outreach events that he goes on, you know, it's all you know, really showing who he is as a person. And I think that, you know, that translates as well as to a locker room where you have young players, and you know, clearly he's a legend, and he's a huge figure in the minds of some of these younger players. And, you know, the more that he can just, you know, show them, you know, even if it's not, you know, little things, it's just like the consistent work ethic and that he puts into the game and just the way he approaches it. And I think that's huge for any young player that comes into the league. And the Mavericks certainly have more young players than, you know, really the past decade. So this is one of their youngest teams, and I think having a leader like that is important.
Hey, glad you're with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and you can go back and listen to our entire interview with Tim Cato, NBA reporter, staff writer at SB Nation. Does an amazing job. Go to podcastarena.com. And, of course, this segment is being powered by our good friends, Innospec Oilfield Services. Check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Okay, well, Timmy, listen, we're going to talk about your book, I promise, here in just a moment, but I want you to give us some insight. We want to glean some good information on Salah Mejri. I tell you what, I love his energy, his effort. He's such a passionate player, and he's someone that, you know, he may not play some games, but when he gets in, you can count on him being a difference maker.
He is a character, and he's someone I've got to know a little bit. You know,
is he really?
Locker room. Do what?
I said, is he really?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. No. He's just sensational, and man, I love seeing him play. You know, I love, you know, exactly like you said, just the energy and everything that he brings to the game. You know, he is I think the role that he has with the Mavericks right now is definitely, you know, the one that kind of suits him, where he can, you know, Rick Carlisle can pick and choose the spots that he's able to be most impactful. And that's important for a player like him, because I do think that some matches would overwhelm him a little bit. But when he's able to, you know, kind of come in exactly when he's able to have the most impact, I think that's important for, you know, a role player who's coming off the bench like him. And yeah, certainly, you know, just for the sake that we get to talk to him more when he plays more, I'm always rooting for that, because he is a hoot, as my grandma would call it, a hoot to talk to. So yeah, great times all around.
Absolutely. And they're going to count on his minutes, because you know what? The Mavericks schedule, thank God they've had the last couple of days off, because, Tim, their schedule doesn't get any easier. Tomorrow night they face the Cavs. Then they pack their bags. They go to Oklahoma City, face the Thunder, and then the Spurs. So it's not going to get any easier. Hey, Tim Cato with us, SB Nation Radio. Now we're going to shift gears a bit. We're going to highlight and shine the spotlight on his brand new book, 100 Things Maverick Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And first and foremost, Tim, this is your very first book, your very first production. What does it feel like? I mean, what was it like finishing it up and just going, wow, I'm going to be a published author?
It's really surreal. You know, it's amazing that we're even at this point now. You know, it seems like just yesterday I was still, you know, slogging through, you know, 50 chapters in of the 100 thing, you know, 100 chapters. And now we're all the way done, and people have it already in their hands, and the official release date is just a few days away. And that's really exciting. You know, that's the most fun time to be an author, is what everybody told me. And now that I'm finally here, I would definitely disagree. So, you know, I'm glad it's over, and glad it's finally to the finished product stage. But, you know, at one point, you know, I'll probably write another book.
Uh-huh.
It's a fun process. So just got to give it some time.
Well, what an incredible ride for you. And, of course, you know, chronicling the lows of an 11-win season and the ecstasy of becoming NBA champions. Was it a bit overwhelming trying to compact all this information and get it into a book and make sure you didn't overlook a particular stat or any person?
It was. You know, that did take some effort. And you know, I enlisted, you know, not just my own knowledge, but the knowledge of people who were, you know, who were watching that team every day back in the day. And I think that was important because, you know, especially me, I didn't watch the Mavericks from, you know, their very first season or anything like that. I definitely missed a lot. So, to me, it was important to get as many voices in there and as many perspectives. And, you know, either if some of them are in there, you know, with their own quotes and names and stuff, and some of them are just, you know, kind of working behind the scenes. But, you know, I was using their voice to inform what I was writing. And I think between that, you know, this is a very comprehensive and thorough look at, you know, I believe coming up on 40 years of this Mavericks team in 2020. Or the 2019-2020 season will be their 40th season. And I think that's important. And I think that as much as I could, you know, I kind of gathered all of that here.
Well, Tim, it all starts at the top. So a lot of curiosity. I know the fans are going to want to know, what did you say and share about Mark Cuban? And also, please tell the story about Donnie Nelson and his initial reaction upon hearing a gentleman by the name of Mark Cuban had bought the Mavericks franchise. And he thought, the first thing that went through my mind is, this guy's from Cuba. Come on, you got to tell the story.
Oh, man, it's great. Yeah, no, as he related it to me, you know, he's I believe the ownership had Donnie Nelson knew that the ownership was changing hands.
Right.
And he didn't know who it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
But he heard it was a guy called Mark Cuban. He had never heard of him. You know, Mark Cuban wasn't the, everybody
household
family name. Everybody mm-hmm. knows who he is. Exactly. At the time, you know, he was just a guy who had a lot of money. And so, you know, he thought for sure that it was, you know, someone actually from Cuba or something like that. You know, his reaction was, oh, man, I'm going to have to learn Spanish just to talk to him. And it's funny, he didn't figure out that night. Him and the coaching staff went out for drinks, and it was kind of, they joked that it was the Last Supper. Because usually when a new owner comes in, you know, the owner wants to bring in their own guys or
right.
their own people to run the team. And as it turns out, you know, Cuban has kept Donnie Nelson around until now. You know, he's still the team president, general manager of this team, and that's, you know, that does say something about Cuban, that he would, you know, take someone who wasn't his pick and realize how valuable he was and you know, keep him around ever since.
Would you describe Mark Cuban as a loyal owner? You know, we look at just the loyalty and the allegiance that he has shown to Dirk, and then also, as you were just highlighting, talking about with Donnie Nelson.
Absolutely. You know, that is one of his best qualities, I would say. One of the things is that, you know, he is very conscious of that, and he does value that as being something important to him. So, you know, I've been very impressed by, you know, just the way that he will stick with players, you know, even against, you know, going up against the NBA. If there's a you know, referee call he doesn't like, you know, he's going to be the first guy yelling at the ref saying that was a bad call. So that's definitely the type of person Mark Cuban is. And, you know, I don't see that changing anytime soon.
And I understand he, you know, provided a heartfelt forward from our very passionate owner in Mark Cuban for your book.
Yes, he did.
What did he share?
I'm very, very grateful for that. You know, the first time I actually ever met Mark Cuban, or the first time he actually said something to me, was the first time I was ever in a room with him. You know, I was credentialed for my first ever Mavericks game, you know, back in, you know, a few years ago, five, six, 7 years ago. And, you know, I'm in the locker room and I'm kind of in, he used to do scrums, these locker room scrums, these press availabilities. On a Stairmaster, where he would just kind of stand up on these Stairmasters,
right.
Looking down on the media and answering whatever they wanted to ask him. It's you know, it's sadly the tradition went away this year, but, you know, it's really fascinating, thing that probably isn't replicated throughout sports. But, you know, I was in that, and Mark Cuban spots me, and he's like, he doesn't know who I am. So he asked me not my name and who I write for. And, you know, ever since then, he's been just sensational to me. And, you know, he agreed to do the forward, you know, just in a second. So I'm very appreciative of that.
Staff writer at SB Nation, Tim Cato, has been with us. We got to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we'll be rejoined in just a moment.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
It is the fastest 2 hours in radio at SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. Tim Cato with us just a few more minutes. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As he said, NBA reporter and author, new book, 100 Things Maverick Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. You can also check out Tim online. He is a staff writer at SB Nation. Okay, so Tim, we got to talk about the magical season, and that was 2011 NBA Finals victory. What did you provide in terms of, you know, inside the book about that championship?
There's a lot in the book, as you can probably imagine. You know, I write chapters on each of the games that they won in the finals, game 2, 4, 5, and 6. But I think my favorite chapter, and the one I'll highlight for a second here, is is the last chapter in the book. And it's an oral history of the moments after game six, after they won, you know, after, you know, so it talks about Dirk Nowitzki as soon as his buzzer goes off, you know, he actually hops over the scorer's table and runs back to the locker room. And he's just bawling his eyes out because this is something he's wanted, you know, for his entire basketball career. And finally he has it and he doesn't know how to react. You know, he spent this entire time trying to get there and he's never put any time thinking about what would happen if he actually got there. So, you know, it talks about that. It talks about the actual award ceremony when they're stepping up on there. It talks about going to the club the that night, you know, until like 5 a.m., 6 a.m. the morning, you know, in Miami. It's Lil Wayne night, apparently. So Lil Wayne was out there just doing DJing or whatever he was doing. And then, you know, kind of the plane flight back home as well. And it has voices from Dirk, from Rick Carlisle, you know, from all the people that you would imagine would be in there. Probably about 20 players, media people, and Mavericks coaches that were all kind of involved in the situation. And that was my favorite chapter to write, you know, the one I reported the most on. And it's definitely worth a read, in my opinion.
Hey, Tim Cato's been with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Go out and get a copy of his brand new book. It is a fascinating read. 100 Things Maverick Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Tim, congratulations. That's huge. We're so happy for you.
Thank you so much.
You bet. That was Tim Cato, staff writer at SB Nation. Be sure and go out and get a copy of his new book, 100 Things Maverick Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And a very special thank you to all of our amazing guests tonight. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter @ERadioSports.